This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
East Lansing.
From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Goal. Touchdown. Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. People, it's Thursday. The week is just flying by. Almost time to fire up the grills as Memorial Day approaches. But boy, do we have a show for you all today. We want to talk about the Tigers putting away the Indians last night. Things get a bit wet at the Diamond Classic. LeBron James making it look easy in the clutch. And two racing legends make the leap into the hall. We will also continue our State of Boxing series with another insightful guest. Keep it locked right here to WKAR AM 870. Current Sports starts now. Keep it locked, folks. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I have to give a big thanks to all of you out there who have been tuning into your radios, listening day in and day out to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. And as many of you know, you can be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day simply by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, liking Current Sports on Facebook.com/Current Sports, or even by emailing me, almartin@wkar.org. You can tweet, Facebook, email your thoughts or questions. We want to hear what's on your mind, people. And you know what? You know what, guys? We're going to start getting your involvement early today. That's right. If you recall, yesterday we discussed PGA Tour golfer Sergio Garcia's remarks toward Tiger Woods at the European Tour Players Dinner on Tuesday night. Garcia made a remark about getting together with Woods at the U.S. Open, trying to squash the beef they have with one another, saying, "We'll have him around every night. We'll serve fried chicken." And we had an overwhelming response from you all, so much so that we couldn't get to all your calls. Now, here's just a few of your responses from yesterday.
I ran to my computer, and the fried chicken thing to me is so lukewarm.
Right.
It's barely even racial. I think it's being blown out of proportion by the media.
Do you?
But I think in this issue, it was an improper statement that was racial versus a specifically racist, angry, vicious statement. And I think that, you know, the Real Housewives of Atlanta syndrome, that reality syndrome is kind of taking over sports, where we want people in sports to have beef.
Context to me is everything.
Right.
And I don't know on what basis your caller from Atlanta concludes that he doesn't know enough about American racism to say something racist. That's blatantly racist.
Blatantly. That's
right.
What I said.
I don't know where he's coming from.
He's been a millionaire since 1995. He was kind of a spoiled rich kid growing up in Spain. He was on a European circuit early. He doesn't know race like we know it in the States.
That's your comments as to why it's something racial, but you don't think he's a racist. Nah. What would he have to do to convince you that he's a racist?
Oh, boy. Yes, it got a little hot in here, guys. Oh, my goodness. Well, I am joined right now by my intern, Mike Corey, and my production assistant, Matt Lutke, to Alex Sharg, excuse me, so we can try to dig more into this thing and really get to the bottom of this. Like I said, it was a very intriguing conversation we had yesterday, and, you know, we didn't want to just leave it out in the open because I felt like yesterday we kind of got cut off with time and wanted to revisit this a little bit because this is one of those things. Here on Current Sports, we're going to go beyond the X's and O's, and this is the perfect story to do that, too. So, we want to hear from you, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We want to get your thoughts on this. And just to revisit a little bit, Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia have had a history with one another, with this whole back and forth kind of feud going on. Sergio has been more vocal about it than Tiger Woods, and it kind of came to a head due to the Players Championship, which took place last weekend, an event which Tiger Woods won it. And during one of the holes, Tiger Woods hit his ball in the woods, and Sergio Garcia's ball hit the fairway. Tiger Woods, he goes to find this ball in the woods and pulls out a fairway wood, and it kind of arouses the crowd. Now, during that same time, Sergio Garcia had just hit, and Sergio said that if Tiger wouldn't have put out his club and the crowd wouldn't have got, you know, started chanting and got a little aroused by it, then, you know, his ball wouldn't have hooked right. So that started this back and forth thing with Woods and Sergio Garcia, and has lingered on and on. Now, Woods has really been quiet about it, not really made any noise about it, but Garcia just left and right, just constantly making comments about it. So, guys, as I said, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods is asked about this, if he kind of sit down with Sergio and kind of hash things out, and he gives a simple answer: no. Leaves it at that, laughter happens, they move him to the next subject. But Sergio Garcia, on Tuesday, as I just said, Sergio Garcia says, he gets asked kind of the same question, and he says, yeah, we'll have him around, we'll serve him fried chicken. Which, if you guys don't know, to our listeners out there, is fried chicken in African Americans. Me being a black guy, I can speak on this a lot. I love fried chicken. Black people and fried chicken have been associated for years. It's been a stereotype for years. And that's where this racial aspect comes in. So what do you guys think about this comment?
Well, I think first off that as the last caller, as we heard earlier saying, what more grounds does this guy have to make you seem that he's not a racist? I don't think there's any way possible that whatever Sergio Garcia said about Tiger Woods is not racist. And if you think that maybe it wasn't, maybe Sergio isn't racist and it was more of a racist comment, how can you not be racist if you say a racist comment now?
Well, Mike, I'll hit on that in just a sec. Go ahead, Mike. You got any?
Well, number one, I don't really understand the stereotype. If you can tell by the sound of my voice, I am white and I love fried chicken.
Yeah, it's a delicious treat.
I don't really understand that, number one. Number two, when I first heard about this, you know, because they asked Tiger the question first and he said no. And this is all, I do feel like this is a bit brought up by the media to begin with, because, you know, none of this would have happened if they wouldn't have brought it up and tried to rehash things, try to, you know, build up the, you know, just try to build up the heat right between them again. So I do feel like, but then, you know, Sergio made the comment that that's his fault. That's all on him. So,
I feel where you're coming from with that. Now, going back to your point, Alex, I got to tell you, man, I feel as though, Sergio's comments were clearly racial. And at the same time, when you look at Tiger Woods, I mean, and this he's an African American involved with the game of golf, which historically African Americans haven't played. He's a pioneer
sure
for this.
Sure.
If you look at Tiger Woods' history, with other people kind of harping on his race, this is not new to Tiger. If you look back in 2011, Steve Williams, you remember Steve Williams? That used to be Tiger Woods' caddy.
Right.
Now, Steve made a comment that was perceived by some as being racist, clearly racial. After Adam Scott, who Steve now caddies for, Scott won the Bridgestone Invitational. And after Scott won the Bridgestone Invitational, beating Woods, Steve said, quote, "It was my aim to shove it right up that black, blah, blah, blah." Clearly a racial statement. So that's one incident. Another incident, if you remember, Carrie Tillman, she's an announcer for the PGA. Now, they were talking about, this was during a point where Tiger was really dominating, just destroying the competition left and right. And she was asked, I mean, what should the competition do? They're kind of helpless right now. And she said, quote, "Well, maybe they should lynch him in the back alley," end quote.
Oh, that's bad.
Clearly racial comment. So this is nothing new to Tiger.
No, sure.
This happened before.
I understand.
But this is my point, though. This is the point I want to make.
Now, and then I'm going to say something about those examples.
Yeah, definitely. I want to say this. For the PGA Tour, when you look at these comments that were clearly racial by Sergio Garcia, and you look at Tiger Woods, he is your premier figure of golf. Without Tiger Woods, ratings go down. I was telling you about this before the show. Ratings go down. And this is your face of golf right now. And if he's constantly taking these shots left and right, these racial remarks that are clearly out of context and have nothing to do with golf and the game that he plays, you got to protect that athlete. This is your marquee guy. You got to protect him. And I think with Sergio making these remarks, He should either be suspended. He should definitely be fined. And something needs to be done about it. Because if this doesn't, if nothing is done, it really looks bad for the PGA Tour. So go ahead, Alex.
So, no, I understand that something maybe should be done about it. But if you go back to 1997 and you look at the Fuzzy Zoeller moment, if you remember, Tiger Woods was then 21 years old. You know, he was saying Tiger Woods is a little boy, then making a fried chicken and collard greens joke. So, sure. Yes, it's not saying you're going to lynch him or you're gonna shove that black bleep, bleep, bleep after that. Sure, it's not necessarily in an angry motive in that you would, you know, physically do something about it. But it's still in the context that Sergio was angry about it and connotating a stereotype. Sure, it's maybe not severe, but I think there's a little bit more of the stereotype in there. Now, look at Sergio and Tiger's history besides that. You look at all the times where Tiger and Sergio have been neck and neck, competitions and competitions, glancing stares, like, you know, very competitive stares. So I just think that the anger involved in it, I think it was just a slip of the tongue, and it was a racist comment. And I think that deep down, even though he won't say he's been here long enough, like OC said the other day, I clearly think he's racist.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Bottom line, Sergio Garcia, shut up, man. Please. This has gone on way too long. Shut up, man. This is ridiculous. You know what I mean? And he's in the public eye, which makes this different. All right, we have a call. Stevan from Detroit. How you doing, Stevan?
Hey, what's up, Perks? How you doing?
How you doing? This is my frat brother, Stevan. I mean, all of my fraternity brothers are calling on this. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, sir. I'm at work right now, so I got 5 minutes.
Okay. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I agree with every other caller. I feel like he was using it to get himself a name by dishing and downing Tiger. But that's all. I just want to congratulate you all on your new position and your amazing show.
Thank you. Thank you, Stevan. That's Stevan from Detroit. Really appreciate that. Now, yeah, when you look at the callers yesterday, we had a few that really, like you said, our second caller said that Garcia's comments were racial, and he feels as though he's a racist. Now, the reason why I won't go as far as to say Garcia is a racist, because he's had no history of this. This is really, like I said, I think this is just one of those things where it was the heat of the moment. He was a little bit angry. Those racial stereotypes have been out for far
long. Now, let me tell you something. Fuzzy Zoeller never had a history before that either.
I don't think he's a racist either. I mean, I think that these are racial stereotypes that I believe a lot of people have in the back of their mind. They just came in the forefront. It was just a slip of the tongue. It came out. Now, the reason I say that is because I, just from personal experience, me, I'm an African-American male. I went to a high school out in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. It was mixed. I had a lot of friends that were white. And a lot of very good friends, and I still have those connections today, but those relationships with them today. Very good friends of mine. And every once in a while, just joking, guys being guys, you know, they might say, oh, I know, Al, you want some chicken today, you know, just little stuff like that, I don't take personal. I mean, it's like I said, it's a racial stereotype that's been around for years that really it's not fried chicken and being black. But that's not that. But it's not. It's bad.
But
it's
your friends
racist,
in high school. Your friends in high school, that they're just saying they're making fun.
They're joking around.
They're making fun of the stereotype.
Right.
Sergio Garcia is not making fun of the stereotype. He is blatantly off the tip of his tongue saying the stereotype.
He is saying the stereotype. It's not. It's. I don't. Sergio Garcia has never had a history of this. I don't know the man personally. This is not something. I kind of feel like OC. Like we're really blowing this out of proportion more than it needs to be. Of course, it's a racial comment. He should be reprimanded for it. But is he a racist? I don't think he's a racist.
But I think that look at the $1.1 million bighorn. Look at the U.S. Open. Look at how they play for millions of dollars. I don't think necessarily he's like a hardcore racist for his whole life. He's grown up with the education to be a racist. But I just think that his anger inside and just his background of racism, not to say he was racist, I just think that with his background growing up, maybe, you know, deep down he's thought about, you know, racist comments here and there.
Possibly. I mean, that's everybody. I mean, that's to each his own. You know what I mean? So go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, as much as I really enjoyed the back and forth going on here, you said it was pointed out. You thought because they need to protect Tiger. Is it something we said talking about earlier too? You said they need to protect Tiger. You know, their biggest.
That's the brand of golf.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree. Without Tiger, without Tiger, there is no like golf PGA. There's no popularity or anything like that.
Right.
But if they do go to take the route and they do punish, the PGA does take around and punish Sergio for the comments, I think they need to be careful. Because when you do that, you set a precedent of, there's supposed to be no favoritism in this type of sport. So they really have to be careful about how they go about this and what type of punishment they do lay upon them. Because then you're going to start hearing cries from other players. And they don't want any more controversy drummed up from this situation than there already has been the PGA.
I think anytime you make remarks like this that go beyond, this goes beyond golf, guys.
Yeah, I know.
This is personal, I think. And it's clearly personal because if you look at the history, Sergio and Tiger, they don't like each other. I mean, even when you look at when Sergio started his reign when he was young coming into golf, he was supposed to be the golden child, the prodigy. Then Tiger Woods comes out of nowhere, starts winning tournaments left and right, and kind of steals that shine from him. And Sergio's had history of making comments about Tiger, like, okay, well, you know, you could just look that up yourself. But yeah. As far as the punishment goes, I mean, this is clearly something that anytime you talk about something that goes beyond the game.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There does need to be some type of
without
punishment.
A doubt.
Yeah, I do agree on that part. And Sergio just needs to step back from everything that's going
right,
on.
Right, just be
he just
quiet.
Step back because I think that's what he tried to do. He tried to deflect the question a little bit. And then he just took it a little bit too far. So he really needs to step back and just, you know, lay low for a little bit after these past 2 weeks.
My question is what are going to be the grounds of the punishment? Is it going to be necessarily the comment itself, or is it going to be the banter back and forth distraction from PGA itself?
I just think it's going to be the comments. I mean, really, when you look at this, I mean, this is, like I said, this is something that goes beyond. This is personal and really just attacking Tiger Woods. And Sergio, if the PGA Tour doesn't do anything, they will look foolish. Because, I mean, just imagine this happens again and again. You know what I mean? And it's just a recurring thing. Or if this happened in any other sport, there would definitely be a punishment. I think the PGA Tour is going to do something, fine them, suspend them. I don't know how harsh the fine will be or what the suspension will be, but they have to do something because this is something that go, like I said, it go anytime something goes beyond sports, controversy goes beyond sports, and in a situation like this, something needs to be done.
No, I definitely agree.
Period. So, but yeah, I mean, when you look at the comments, though, it was clearly a racial remark. I mean, and blacks, if you look at us, man, there's a lot of stereotypes when it comes to African Americans and things. I mean, with the chicken remark, I mean, the being late. I'm sure a lot of you heard that. You know, another one is when it comes to African American women, the angry black woman type of thing. So it's been constant. I mean, every culture though has those stereotypes, and when I feel like when a public figure comes out and kind of enlightens those stereotypes or puts them out there in the air, it kind of pushes the envelope a little bit, and people, you know, in this society, you know, when things like that happen and pushes the envelope, it kind of causes controversy, and this is one of those situations.
Yeah, and even look back in history. I mean, I'm Jewish. Look back with Hank Greenberg. Look at all the controversy that arrives from that. And if you look it back, that was a totally different time. If you go back to Hank Greenberg's time, there probably wouldn't be a punishment because naturally the league, the MLB hated Jews. So you pass forward now, past the 60s, you know, past segregation, all of that. It's a totally different world today. And any comment, which I think is great, should be taken seriously and should be punished.
Definitely. Well, this debate has surely, these comments have surely sparked up a lot of debate, and definitely thank you guys, my intern Mike Corey and my production assistant Alex Shark, joining us on this discussion, and thank you guys for all of the calls out there. Well, when we return, we will continue our State of Boxing series. That's right, another special guest will join us. Keep it locked right here. More current sports is next.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Intergalactic. Welcome back to Current Sports. Thanks for all of you who called in and shared your thoughts on the whole Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods fried chicken discussion. That was fun. We had an overwhelming response from all of you and had to revisit that heated topic. Well, now back to our regularly scheduled programming. Today, we have joining us a man who is a revered boxing trainer in the state of Michigan, Dennis Schimmel. He started boxing back in 1980 in Pennsylvania. In 1997, he started coaching boxing when his son wanted to start boxing, and he has been coaching ever since. He has been the Michigan team manager and coach of the National Golden Gloves for the past 8 years, and has also coached at numerous other tournaments, national tournaments, and Olympic trials, among a host of other things. Dennis, welcome to Current Sports, bud.
Thank you.
Man, first of all, I gotta go back, man. How did your love for boxing begin, man?
Well, I just started watching boxing with my father and just some other people, grandparents, when I was a little kid. So I was watching boxing on TV, Wide World of Sports, and other shows as well back in the early 70s.
Now, when you first started coaching and training, was it, you were a former boxer yourself, was it difficult to kind of separate coach and boxer at first?
Sort of. When I started coaching, I was also training at the same time. So I was just training just for the fun of it, and really no interest in competing. But I would be sparring with guys and hitting the heavy bag, shadow boxing, doing everything that all the boxers were doing. But I would also be coaching them.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's dig right into this, Dennis. There's no question, when you look at the state of boxing right now, it's at a point of really panic, if you will. I don't know if I'll go so far to say panic, but it's really alerting that the popularity has dwindled tremendously over the years. For you, when you look at boxing, why is that so?
That is a good question. As a boxing coach and someone involved in putting on boxing shows, we've had that discussion many times with other people involved in the sport. I think that with amateur boxing, a lot of it had to do with the fact that back in the early 80s, headgear was put on boxers, and you couldn't see the boxers as well. Mm. It just changed the sport. Then you also had just the fact that amateur boxing, linked with pro boxing as well. Mm. It wasn't on ABC Wide World of Sports in the afternoon for the last 20 years or more. Prior to that it was, and they had other programs that came on during the normal evening viewing hours, and you would see boxing on network TV. Well,
right,
then
exactly.
That went away, and then it was, just cable channels, and some people don't have cable channels, and that hurt the sport. I mean, it made it so that certain boxers made more money because they were getting paid more to be on HBO, Showtime, and pay-per-view, but the overall sport was negatively affected by that, and so the viewership went down. And and that also happened with amateur boxing, where the Olympic boxing, not just the headgear, but after the 1988 Olympics, when there was the Roy Jones Jr. controversy, where he lost, and it was shown that there was some bribery done with one of the judges. Then what happened is they changed the scoring system and made it less understandable by the general boxing fan, and also many coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
And many boxers, too. And so then that hurt the sport, and they just kept changing it and changing it. And with doing so, the viewership just kept going down. And, for the last Olympics or two, it's put on some other channels that aren't normal channels. It's definitely not on, like, you know, a network channel.
Without a doubt, yeah, exactly.
And then it's put on at some weird hours, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, IEBA, which is the International Boxing Association that governs, I don't want to say amateur boxing anymore because they're changing it into pro boxing as well, but they are trying to do things to make the sport more fan-friendly.
Right.
They are now doing things where headgear is being taken off the elite level, which is just the boxers that are going to be fighting in international competitions.
Uh-huh.
So and that has already happened.
They're required to wear headgear right now in competitions like the Olympics, right?
No.
In
2012 they were, since then they have changed it. So they've had a couple international competitions already where there's no headgear.
Gotcha.
And they've had one competition, maybe two, but I'm aware of one in the United States that has done away with the headgear for that elite class. And they've redefined the elite class, too. It's now ages 19 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing things. I don't agree with everything they're doing, but they're doing some things to try to make the sport more fan-friendly. And the no headgear for that highest level, I think that is going to help. And that's going to happen from now until the 2016 Olympics. And when that happens,
right?
I think that's in Rio. When that happens, there's going to be no headgear on the boxers at that next Olympics.
Right.
There's also going to be professional boxers in it. Now, that I personally don't like. I think the Olympics should be for amateurs, even though it's not in most other sports. But I like it being amateurs only in boxing. But So there's some changes. They're changing the scoring system. It's going to be a 10-point must system. Similar to, but slightly different than the pro 10-point must system.
Ah, gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Dennis Schimmel. He's been the Michigan team manager and coach of the National Golden Gloves for the past 8 years. Dennis, I got to ask you, now you talked a little about the judging and a little bit about the politics of boxing, because we talked with some of our earlier guests in the week, and they told us how many of the judges today judge based on effort and not results. Have you seen that? Can you echo that? And why is that?
I'm not sure what they mean by effort and not results. If they're talking about someone just being aggressive in the ring.
Right, being aggressive. They seem like they're not landing a lot of punches, but they're being the aggressor, backing the boxer up, that kind of thing.
In my personal experience, at the highest level, that wasn't necessarily true. Locally, a lot of times that is true with less experienced judges.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were scoring it correctly, and using scoring blows, which was the old criteria, a guy that was a counterpuncher could do very well and get a lot of points. And somebody who has good defense and doesn't hit with clean shots, they're not going to count any punches against that person. And then when they counter, they're going to get scoring blows. So now under the new system, I think that's going to be more true, because an aggressive boxer, a lot of judges, as they do in the pros, will say that person is making the fight. They are
right.
They're pressing the action. As in the pros, it has to be effective aggression. So I think they're going to be looking at that as well. But that is going to change, and I think that you're going to see a lot more boxers being aggressive rather than doing this fencing type boxing that they've had for the last few Olympics, which is why the fans didn't like it.
Right.
It's all about, hit, not get hit, and
yeah,
and really move around and land one punch, and now you got a point lead, and you don't want to give that up, so you don't do much else the rest of the round, and that's going to change. Now, with the new scoring system, boxers are going to have to be more aggressive. They're going to have to throw more punches. It's going to make it more exciting. It's going to be back to the days of, you know, 1976 when you had Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, I miss those days, man.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to help.
Right, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Dennis Schimmel. Started coaching boxing when his son started coaching boxing. I got to ask you this, Dennis. Now, your son, once your son got involved with boxing, you started to train and coach. Now, when you look at the youth right now, is there a disconnect between young kids today in the sport of boxing and their interest when you talk about the sport?
Well, I would say more so than in the past, because as I said, I started watching it on network TV when I was a little kid, you know, 4 or 5 years old, and I just always remember watching boxing on network TV, and you know, so when I was a teenager, I was already in love with the sport and wanted to box. And today, most kids don't see boxing as much because it's not on network TV. Usually you do not see boxing on any TV in the afternoons. That's changing now. They're doing a few afternoon or early evening shows, and that helps the sport. But most of the time, the sport comes on late at night, and often the shows are in, you know, the TV shows are in Las Vegas or California.
Right.
And with the time delay or the time change, you know, they start them there at 8 o'clock. Well, that's, you know, 10 or 11 here, depending on where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's late. You know, most kids aren't up at 11 o'clock at night for the start of the show, and then the main event's at 12:30 in the morning. And so that's hurt it, and so most kids don't know about boxing as much. And, it, you know, I don't know how to change that.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's
we
tough.
Try a
it's
lot
tough.
Of different things, but it's difficult.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Schimmel, Michigan team manager, coach of the National Golden Gloves for the past 8 years. I got to ask you, Dennis, now you train, you have a gym out in Grand Rapids. Now, that's also the birthplace of the most popular boxer in the game today, Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. Now, have you seen his influence there firsthand when it comes to boxing and beyond?
Well, you know, I've seen Floyd many times. He used to train at another gym I was at that's since closed down, and he and his dad were training there after the 96 Olympics when Floyd was first in the professional ranks. And you know, he had, you know, some influence on boxing in West Michigan at that time, and he, you know, moved to Las Vegas, and you know, he comes home to Grand Rapids from time to time, but you know, he doesn't often come into the gyms or anything anymore. So
gotcha, right.
I'm not sure. I you know, people see him on TV, on pay-per-view. A lot of the young kids see that he currently is the number one paid athlete in the world.
Yeah, in the world, yeah.
And so does that help the sport of boxing? I'm sure it does, because there's a lot of kids that say, well, Floyd Mayweather can make $93 million a year. I can.
Exactly. Right. Provide some inspiration to kids. Now, I got to ask you the last question, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Will boxing ever get back to where it once was?
I doubt it. I don't see any sport being back to where it was back in, you know, the 1940s, 50s, 60s, just because of the way times have changed. You know, we're more of a world economy, and you know, with the internet and everything else, and you know, the travel being so much quicker,
right.
Things have just changed. And with sports, you have kids that, you know, when they're in middle school or elementary school, high school, wherever, they have so many more options now. You know, 40 years ago, you know, the options were limited in high schools. You had 3, 4, 5 sports, you know, maybe 6. And in then you had local boxing gyms that were around, and it gave kids an alternative to, you know, the sports in schools. Now kids in schools have, you know, 20 sports or more to choose from.
Exactly, and, tons of sports.
Yeah, and then there's a lot more sports outside of schools, not just boxing. So with all the different options, I don't see it being as strong as it was at one time. I do think that it's going to grow and become more popular than it currently is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing things, like I said, with amateur boxing that are going to help invigorate the sport and make fans like it better. And hopefully that will mean that some of the, I don't know if you remember, but there used to be international amateur boxing competitions on TV, network TV. You never see that anymore.
Hopefully
that changes, and then, you know, and you get kids seeing the amateur end of it as well. Well, as I said, the amateurs becoming mixed with pros, but still, it will, whatever you want to call that, the Olympic boxing, the international boxing, you'll see more of it on TV in the future, and that will help the sport grow. And then, you know, the pro ranks, they're doing things with the new Fox Sports One network.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to have 20-some shows a year starting, I believe, in August. So
that'll help, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, and it's supposed to start on Monday nights. You know, and then they have a lot more boxing out there, and CBS owning Showtime is, you know, showing boxing on CBS occasionally. NBC is doing some network TV boxing. I think that's all going to help.
Without a doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Schimmel, Story Boxing trainer in Michigan, actually the Michigan team manager and coach of the National Golden Gloves for the past 8 years. He also coached at numerous other national tournaments and Olympic trials. Dennis, thanks so much for being a part of the show, man.
You're welcome, and I appreciate you being on.
No problem. Well, even though the Diamond Classic was rained out yesterday, we have a man joining us that has dominated the Classic for numerous years. That's right. Pat O'Keefe is going to join us after the break. The Grand Ledge baseball legend. Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, Julianne Moore. She plays an out-of-control rock star and mother in the midst of a custody battle in the new present-day film adaptation of What Maisie Knew. One of her co-stars is a 6-year-old girl.
I'd say, listen, oh, I'm going to yell in this scene. I just want you to know, I'll be like, I'll talk like this, and then I'm going to yell really loud, so don't be scared.
Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's Thursday. You know what that means, right? Yeah, that's right. Two guests for you. Special treat. And many of you around the area definitely know this second guest, Pat O'Keefe, Grand Ledge baseball coach. The Comets have won 4 straight Diamond Classic trophies, 8 in the past 12 years, 21, that's right, 21 under the 46th-year coach, Pat O'Keefe, in 23 overall. Not to mention, Pat was also the football coach at Grand Ledge, where he had so much success that he was inducted into the Lansing Sports Hall of Fame in 2006. Pat retired from coaching football in 2005. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Al. Pleasure to be there.
Definitely, man. Now, Pat, you've had a pretty successful running at this thing called coaching. Talk about where your passion for teaching sports came from.
Well, it was. I grew up in a very athletic family. My dad was the captain of Notre Dame's baseball team and had an opportunity to play in the for St. Louis. But my grandma said that she ordered him to either go to law school or not come home. So he stayed and went to law school at Notre Dame. But he had a deep-rooted passion for all sports. And, of course, I grew up at Standy Sterling High School and played football, basketball, and baseball, and then played baseball at Central Michigan, and then spent some time in the Houston Astros minor league system. And
wow.
It's been a great run here at Grand Ledge High School. I've loved the community, and I do the recreation for the city of Grand Ledge, and I'm just involved in a lot of things in the community, and I love this place.
Truly a jack of all trades. Now, Pat, what do you think makes a successful coach? Because there are, frankly, many out there who have tried and failed. Now, how are you able to reach kids unlike anyone else?
Well, I think that it's just sometimes the good Lord smiles upon you and gives you an ability. And it was a calling for me, Al. It wasn't something that I really chose as much as it was something that I think the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is going to be your career. And I feel bad for a lot of the young coaches and everything, because I think that there are so many more outside influences. And, you know, the kids are pretty much still the same. But I think that a lot of the parents' attitudes towards coaching and the crisis in the whole mm-hmm. field of education and teaching is a lot different than it was when I started in 1967. So I've been blessed. And I still feel some regrets about what's going on in public education and at this level in America.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Pat O'Keefe, Grand Ledge baseball coach. Now, I got to list down this resume, Pat. The Comets, your Comets, have won now four straight Diamond Classic trophies. The Diamond Classic, of course, going on right now. Eight in the past 12 years, 21 under you, and 23 overall. I mean, unbelievable. Now, you've dominated this event. Frankly, we're just going to be real about it. You've dominated this event a lot of years, these past 4 years especially, Pat. Now, what differentialities has, when you look at the Grand Ledge baseball program compared to every other school, I mean, what makes you guys so dominant, frankly?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it's just been good fortune, but we were in with our former coach, Charlie Gorman, and forming the Diamond Classic committee that Dean Shippey founded. And but it's always been a special event here in the community. And if you go around town and you ask people that played baseball, you know, 52 years ago, you know, what was one of the most the greatest moments that they had, many of them would tell you that it was the Diamond Classic and playing in the Diamond Classic. And so that's always been you know, something in this community that is a great source of pride, and we continue that tradition.
Now, you talk about that classic. It's an event that really, like you said, it's very special to the community and the people involved with it. Now, when you look at all of the titles you've won 21. It's a lot. Are there any that stick out more than others?
Well, you know, I mean, the first one in 1974, you know, obviously sticks out. And then, but there have been, you know, over the course of the years, that would demean any of the other kids that won championships to say that, you know, my own sons all played on championship teams. But, you know, Sir Dennis Patrick and Colin. But, right. You know, it's just been a special thing, Al. And they all hold a special place in your heart.
Man, definitely. We're talking with Pat O'Keefe, legendary Grand Ledge baseball coach. Just really something else, man, to be sitting here talking with you, Pat. Now, you've also coached football and were inducted into the Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. Now, when you look at this dynamic between coaching football and baseball, what's the biggest difference between coaching those two sports?
Well, in a lot of ways, I don't think that there is that much of a difference. Each one of them has different, obviously, skills and fundamentals, and it's always been my belief that you win on fundamentals, and you got to have great support from the community and a good bunch of kids, and I've always been blessed with a great bunch of my kids here at Grand Ledge High School.
Now, Pat, you guys play on Friday night against Okemos, I believe, right? 5:30.
No, they
change it.
It's all been set back, Al.
Oh, it's all pushed back now.
Yeah, the games have been canceled for tonight, And therefore, the games that were scheduled for last night are going to be played tomorrow night.
Oh, man. So no games tonight? I was looking forward to going to a game, man.
No.
This rain for tonight.
But that's apropos for what we've gotten this entire spring. You know, we were rained out our first six doubleheaders. That never happened in my entire career. So tonight's games will be moved down to Lugnuts Cooley Law School Stadium tomorrow night, and then that'll push our games that were scheduled for tomorrow night to Monday, June 3rd.
So. Oh, man, this just messed up all my plans. I might have to go out on a date tonight. I have no more plans, man. Oh, my goodness. All right, Pat O'Keefe, Grand Ledge Baseball Coach. So you guys play Okemos, right, when you guys do play, I believe. What are you expecting from Okemos? What's the message to your team leading up to that game?
Well, you know, it's classic always starts a whole new season over again, and so those are the kind of things that I think draw a lot of excitement, because your conference is one thing, and then the Diamond Classic becomes another thing, and the districts become another thing after that. So it's a pretty special time of year, and a lot of pressure on the teams to perform well and to do well.
Now, Pat, I got to ask you now, when you're not coaching or doing anything involved with sports, what can people find Pat O'Keefe doing?
Well, chasing 9 grandchildren. There's a lot of things, and doing recreation stuff, Al, and Little League clinics, and there's a lot to keep me busy.
that's good. Legend. We're talking with Pat O'Keefe, legendary baseball coach of the Grand Ledge Comets. Now, I want to go back to a comment you made earlier about the public education system, man. You said a lot of things going on there, a lot of regrets. I mean, talk a little about that. What do you see? What's the problem there, man?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Al, is just the funding of public education. And we're always talking about priorities, and every one of us knows that those kids that are in those from preschool right through the 12th grade are the future, you know, and we give lip service to that, but we don't put our money where our mouth is. You know?
Right.
Oftentimes when we make cuts, then we make cuts and sending 4 kids through college education and having a son that's a doctor and a son that's a lawyer and the other two that all graduated, the amount of money for higher education has gone right off the charts. And so I just feel that sometimes that we're not doing the things necessary as a society to make these young people and give them the opportunities that they deserve. So there's a lot of sacrifices that are made by parents every single day and by the kids too. I mean, getting jobs and doing things when they should be concentrating on school and enjoying extracurricular activities and so on. So it's pretty disheartening to me, Al.
Well, I really hope it changes, Pat, and I'm definitely praying for that to change over time. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Pat O'Keefe, baseball coach of the Grand Ledge Comets. They'll be going for their 5th straight Diamond Classic title. Pat, really, thanks from the bottom of my heart for being a part of Current Sports, man.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Okay. Battier gets it in. Here's James on the draw!
Yes, I'm sure many of you heard that call last night. LeBron James just showing some of the magic. We'll definitely get to LeBron James in a second. It's our current sports segment of the show. Let's first start off with the Detroit Tigers. They beat the Cleveland Indians last night 11-7, sweeping the 2-game series between the AL Central's top team, the Cleveland Indians. Verlander was on the mound. Justin Verlander. He surrendered 5 runs in 5 innings of work Wednesday night. But the offense really bailed him out with an 11-7 win over the Indians. JV really kind of not looking like himself so far this season. He was rocked for 8 runs in 2 2/3 innings of play in his previous start and walked 5 5 innings in the one before that. And Verlander really just didn't look. He's not looking like himself right now. So really, the verdict's still out on him. He's now 5-4. Rain really a big factor of yesterday also when it comes to Verlander. Kind of threw him out of his rhythm, I guess you could say. He was 2 outs away from qualifying for a victory when the game was stopped
with the Tigers leading 9-5 in the fifth. But he did come back after a 62-minute rain delay. Now, Leland usually doesn't let a pitcher return after sitting more than an hour. That's like the Leland rule. But hey, he's Justin Verlander. So he threw him back in there, and he got his fifth win of the season. And oh yeah, you know that guy, Miguel Cabrera, arguably, in my opinion, the best baseball player in the game right now. Yeah, he smacked another homer. This one really interesting, though, because this one wasn't your typical homer over the fence. It actually was a shot to right center, and it was helped over the wall by center fielder Michael Bourne. Interesting. But hey, he's Miguel Cabrera. I mean, everything is going right for this man right now. Michael Bourne, he ran back to the warning track and was in position to make the catch, but the ball bounced out of his glove and into the stand. So Miggy gets another one, man. Everything going right for him. So the Tigers, like I said, they now move to within one half game into the first place Indians. So they're really just chopping at that lead right now in the AL Central. We'll see what happens. The Tigers and Indians next meet on June 7th to the 9th in Detroit. Cabrera is batting 466, 14 of 30 during an 8-game hitting streak. Unbelievable. Now, Leland rested starting center fielder Alex Avila, who is batting just 174, 1 for 21 slump. Ugh, really bad for Avila. Now, Leland doesn't know what's wrong with Avila, saying, quote, "I wish I did." And he doesn't want to indicate, though, that Alex isn't their catcher, because he is. So we'll see what happens with Avila as time moves on. Now, Torii Hunter, really cool story. Torii Hunter initially pledged via Twitter that he would give a $1,000 donation for every home run he hits to help victims of the tornado. And, you know, that's going on, the tornado victims in Oklahoma. Really, really cool stuff right there, man. A day later, though, he decided to up the ante. He said Wednesday afternoon that he and his wife had decided to give a flat amount after he realized that $1,000 per home run wouldn't add up to as much as he wanted to give. I mean, Torii Hunter is not like Miguel Cabrera, was just smacking home runs out in the field. So he decided that he'll just give a flat amount. And really, the idea came for Torii after Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Matt Kemp, born and raised in Midwest City, Oklahoma, initially promised $1,000 per home run, but later upped his donation. Standing by his per home run pledge, he plans to give an addition to a flat donation of $250,000. Really, really cool story for them. Our hearts and prayers go out to all the victims out in Oklahoma right now going through that tornado disaster. So, and Hunter says he got the idea from Matt Kemp, you know, Matt Kemp is kind of like Torii Hunter's like little brother in the game. So they're really close. So that's really cool stuff. Reminder, Red Wings, Western Conference Finals, semifinals, I should say. Game 4, Red Wings lead the series 2-1. Red Wings and Chicago Blackhawks will be going at it tonight. Jimmy Howard has been spectacular these entire playoffs. He has held the top seed at Chicago to only one goal in 2 straight games. He became the first goalie to face at least 40 shots without giving up more than a goal in the playoffs since Greg Stefan did it back in 1987. Unbelievable. Jimmy Howard, oh man, I mean, he had to play 42 of 48 games during the lockout shortened season because he didn't have a healthy, capable backup for much of the season. So, I mean, it just adds to Jimmy. He's just really playing spectacular. And, you know, we'll see what the Red Wings do tonight. And also, update on the Diamond Classic. As Pat O'Keefe, you guys just now joining us, all the games scheduled tonight have been canceled due to that pesky rain right now. I don't know if it's still raining. It's kind of bugging me, man, because I really want to go out and see the games. Now I have to cancel. Anybody want to go out on a date, hit me up, man, because I have no plans right now. At all, the Diamond Classic is canceled. All the games have been pushed back. Also want to note, the league track meets in the CAAC Blue, they were all yesterday. They still got it on even though the rain was kind of, you know, bothering them throughout its entirety. In the CAAC Blue, Grand Ledge won the boys meet with 125 and one-third points to East Lansing's 104 and one-third points. East Lansing took the girls title with 146 points, finishing ahead of Grand Ledge with 110, and Okemos placed third at 104 points. The East Lansing girls track team ends Grand Ledge's streak of 5 straight league titles. Congrats to them. What an accomplishment for them. Other action when it concerns track and field, the Williamston boys and girls win the CAAC white meet. The Owosso boys and DeWitt girls win the CAAC red meet. The Mason boys and Eden Rapids girls win the CAAC gold meet. And Pawamo Westphalia, they get a sweep. They win the CMAC girls and boys meet. So congrats to to all of you guys out there. Really, really remarkable stuff. Congrats to East Lansing snapping that streak. Unbelievable, man. Grand Ledge is a powerhouse and everything. I'll tell you. All right. The NBA playoffs last night. The Miami Heat topped the Indiana Pacers 103-1. I mean, it's just an unbelievable game last night. A crazy overtime game. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals last night. LeBron James, get this. This guy finished with 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Yes, you know what that means. A triple-double for the King. His ninth triple-double in the postseason. He also had the biggest bucket of the game. The game winner. Unbelievable. Now, if you look at this play, if you look at the game in general, it was an incredibly entertaining game for anyone watching. Indiana's Paul George actually hit a miracle three-point bucket at the end of regulation to push the thing into overtime. And Paul George really coming into his own and starting to prove that, hey, he belongs in this elite level. He had a great game last night. And LeBron James, like I said, he won it on a drive past George, Paul George, for just an easy bucket, to be honest. Now, LeBron James is great. Give him all the credit in the world. The man had two seconds on the clock, gets the ball at the end of regulation. Clock is ticking. He gets it immediately, and he covers so much ground to see that play. I mean, he took one bounce and was at the rim already, and it was a left-handed layup. Really nice by LeBron James, but great play by LeBron James. But in my honest opinion, I think that Indiana's coach, Frank Vogel, really just screwed this one up. And I mean that because Roy Hibbert, Indiana's big man who has been stopping everything in the paint this entire season. Indiana, arguably the league's best defensive team at stopping anything that comes in the paint. I mean, that's what they do. And Roy Hibbert was not in the game in those last seconds. Now, Vogel was catching a lot of criticism today from many people because they're wondering why he wasn't in the game. And, you know, it's interesting because if you look at a few plays before LeBron James' game winner, LeBron went to the hole easily and got a layup before that. And Hibbert wasn't in the game then. So it makes you wonder, like, what are you thinking, man? Now, I say this now. A lot of people, like Charles Barkley last night said, you know, if Hibbert was in the game, you know, that would have freed up Chris Bosh for a jump shot. But I can live with a Chris Bosh jump shot over an easy LeBron James layup. I mean, it was ridiculously easy. And it happened not once but twice, and Hibbert was still not in the game. So say what you will, man. I really think LeBron James, all credit to him, unbelievable move. It was a very quick move, caught George, you know, by surprise, and he gets the easy layup. But that's, come on, man. I mean, just a really just sour ending for that game, if you ask me. And like I said, if Hibbert was in the game, at least that would have forced out a Chris Bosh jump shot or something else, a kick out at least. And it would have been. I can live with a Chris Bosh jump shot, like I said, over an easy LeBron James layup. But really entertaining game. Now, I really think that was the Pacers' really only chance to really kind of put some pressure on Miami. That game was so crucial for them. I don't know if they'll bounce back from that because they pushed into overtime. You know, when you talk about a team like the Miami Heat, you really got to take advantage of any opportunity given. They had an opportunity last night to steal that game one, and they did not do it. So, I don't know. We'll see. So, Miami Heat, they take a one-game lead in that. So, also want to note that Dale Jarrett and Maurice Petty, that's right, NASCAR legends, members of NASCAR's most royal families, have been selected into the Hall of Fame. That's right. Maurice joins his older brother, King Richard Petty, their father, championship driver Lee Petty, and cousin Dale Inman, Richard's longtime crew chief in the Hall. Unbelievable. Congrats to them. Really remarkable stuff. And also, we want to note that Brian Urlacher, we wanted to get to this yesterday but couldn't. Legendary Chicago Bears lineman Brian Urlacher had decided to retire after 13 years. Now, Urlacher really just frustrated with the entire situation over there in Chicago. And he just decided, hey, man, let me just leave the game. The Bears actually made him a one-year offer worth a maximum of $2 million. Urlacher asked for 2 years and $11.5 million. At the time, Urlacher called it a slap in the face, so he had decided to leave the game. He would certainly be missed. I remember just being little, watching him just smack guys around. Well, congrats to Urlacher. He moves on. Well, before we leave, I want to give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. My production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, my intern, Mike Corey, engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR, our guest, Dennis Schimmel, and Pat O'Keefe.
Tomorrow we continue our State of Boxing series. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same place, same time tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing.
This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil.
This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR.